Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT, the NBA is back after a nice All-Star week in Charlotte. And as per usual, we'll be hitting you up with the hottest headlines. Should the Celtics be happy with their progress so far? Are the Lakers doomed to fall out of the playoffs? Are the Thunder the only team that can challenge the Warriors in the West? And on that, is Paul George an MVP? Are the Kings destined for a playoff spot? We ask all the important questions here at JBT, so will the 2022 Oscars be dominated by Space Jam? So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to another episode of Just Ball Things. With me today, in my very... No, I'm not doing this. With me today, physically, next to me, in the
mentally,
flesh...
Emotionally, spiritually, I'm always with you, Nicholas. Always.
The J-Man, Jack Manuel.
Yeah.
How are you?
Enjoying the fan for the fam.
Fan for the fam?
See, I told you I'd slip it in.
Fan for the fam.
I told you I'd slip it in.
Yeah, it's a hot day here in Melbourne. We've got the rotary fan, so apologies if you hear...
Rotary fan.
It is a rotary fan.
Just because I have, like, rotisserie chicken in my head after we watched that.
So apologies to if you hear the... I mean, you'll probably hear it now.
Don't blow into the microphone. Don't scare our listeners.
Yeah, okay. It's a ghost.
Well,
it's a solid start, as always, Jackie boy.
Always is.
My name is Nick Busink, and I am in the market, mate.
What? Oh, how's he market?
No. Guitar market.
Oh, right.
I'm close to buying another one.
Why?
But it's a shit guitar.
Why would you buy a shit guitar?
Well, let me explain a little something to you about economics, mate.
I understand.
This has nothing to do with economics.
Okay, I assume so.
I am going to buy... I'm looking at Gibsons, so Chinese Gibsons. Build quality of them.
Is that racist, or is that what they're actually
called? No, because they're made in China.
Okay.
Yeah, they're Chinese Gibsons. But they say they're made in the US, so they're fake Gibsons. Fibsons.
Right. Okay.
Which is also a pun, because a fib is a lie. Fibson.
There's a lot of layers to this.
There's a lot of potential episode names that we're dishing out right now.
Yeah, you got to put some sounds on the whatever you do, that thing where you sound
right,
by
I'll it. Remember.
Yeah.
Give it an hour.
All right.
I will forget.
You're definitely forgetting.
But I'm in the market. I'm going to get a poor guitar. I'm going to refurb, maybe replace the pickups, make it my own.
Right,
so it's going to be a Nixon.
Is that what... Ah, that's good. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Does anyone hear one sound clapping? Lease.
Listen up. That sound of one hand clapping. Listen up.
Is that what Chaz is doing with his, by the way?
Is that what Chaz Yeah, he did that with his Mustang. So he bought a Squire Mustang for cheap.
Right,
and it was awful. It was awful. And so he's just replaced everything.
Hopefully all of our subscribers are guitar enthusiasts, or we've lost them, Nicholas.
Hopefully.
If they're basketball enthusiasts, stick with us, because Nick's about to do the plug and then get to us. No, let me do the plug.
Okay.
You're writing stuff down.
Okay.
Online plug 1.2. I don't say that, do I? Is that like the part of the script that you don't say?
Yeah, the stage directions.
Right.
Come on, man.
Okay. Contact us on Twitter at TheJManJBT or JBTNick. We're closely affiliated with OTG Basketball. Awesome podcast network, news website. Keep up to date with everything NBA. Plenty of content coming through. Roundtables, we got a top 50 coming for you very soon. Myself and Corey are working on following them on Twitter as well. Essential at OTG Basketball. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/justballthings. Give us a like, follow there. And then the email, jbtpodcast@gmail.com. You know what to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Just even send us a letter. Like, if you want to send a letter F to us.
If you wanna tell us how good we are, we accept praise.
We only accept praise.
No,
we will not accept criticism.
No scolding whatsoever.
That's why we only have 5-star reviews on
five
iTunes.
5-star, 5-star,
5-star, baby! I'm a 5-star man. We have a 5-star podcast.
All right.
Let's get cracking into this one, mate. Busick Manuel Scale. We need to get this thing patented. Patent pending.
Yeah, patent
pending.
We need to get shirts and stuff. We have lots of room for, like, merchandising. I'm like, if Zionism gets taken by someone, Zionist, Zionology, I'm going to be bloody pissed. I feel like the Ringer's going to steal that shit.
Yeah. No, I can definitely say that. We need to make... There's some sort of joke in there with Nike and shoes and...
Breaking,
there's something in there.
Exploding shoes.
Like, he destroyed the shoes for us. Like, I don't
know. Oh, okay, I got you. Like, got you.
Died
he sacrificed
sins,
his shoes.
Like, yeah. There's something in there.
Yeah, I get you.
Instead of breaking the bread, he broke the shoes. I'm grasping at straws here. Anyway, for those of you who are new, this is a JBT-created scale that sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. We scale it from alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, or just straight up fact. First one here, mate.
Go ahead, mate.
K-Dog.
K.I. Drewsy.
We're on the same wavelength, mate.
Get around, Drewsy.
Kyrie Irving has had some...
words.
Some choice words.
Yeah, a lot of choice. I feel like there's not choice words. He's just spewing shit left, right, and center.
He has to be deciding these words.
He does have to choose them, I guess.
Unless they're
completely... He has, like, involuntary spewing of words syndrome.
I mean,
IPSS.
Earth flats, like... He speaks a lot of crap.
He does.
Let us determine whether this is crap.
Ah, good segue. Ooh. Good one. Good
the Celtics
one.
Are capable of doing a lot more than what they are currently doing.
Yes, they're not doing a lot. They're doing some.
They're fifth in the East right now, 37 and 22.
Does that include today's terrible
record?
Loss to the Chicago Bulls?
Potentially, I cannot say.
good stuff, Nicky boy.
I don't know how.
No, the standings are the most up-to-date on Google. Like, you literally type in NBA standings because they have the scores and they...
I feel like Basketball Reference should be all
do it now.
All right,
to check if it's different. But, like, I'll go on while you're searching that up. Obviously, Kyrie made this reference point in the Rachel Nichols interview. He's been...
37-23.
There we go. I told
we're
you.
Out, we're out of date.
Told you. Get around Google, mate.
They're still fifth in the East, though.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to...
I mean,
we're not
the
coming.
Top five is fairly solidified.
We're not really coming for them. I highly doubt it. Despite, you know, we've been playing pretty well. But a 4-5 series would be pretty good between us two anyway. Mm. But they've just been... I think that Kyrie Irving needs to take a lot on his back, because if he is the guy on this team and he's saying we have a lot of young guys, he is essentially saying, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, step up. You're not doing fucking shit for us. Like, if I was one of those players in that locker room, would you... If you were one of them, Nick, would you not be pissed?
Of course you would.
It's just like thinly veiled criticism. Like, that's just a...
And Kyrie doesn't... Kyrie has not earned any respect that he puts on his name.
No. No, he hasn't.
No, he hasn't. Not as an individual leader of a basketball team. He is part and parcel part of this problem as much as any other player on this team.
Yeah.
And it's not more so because he's the leader. But however people want to spin
that... Fine leader. We've done that before, yeah. But... They're clearly capable of more. Like, we saw last season, without Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, they got to the conference finals, and they exceeded expectations. But that's the thing about expectations now. Like, Bill Simmons predicted them for 65 bloody wins. They're barely going to get 50. Mm. And he's running Kyrie Irving out of TD Garden. I feel like he knows something. I feel like he knows Kyrie might be leaving, and he's trying to talk shit about him so he can sort of bring his reputation down. Are they capable of more than doing? Yeah. These young guys, yeah, they are. But there's a much better way to deal with this thing. And talk about leadership or whatever, I just think it's communication. Like, and we've spoken about communication with the media, outside the media, with a guy like Kevin Durant. There's just ways where these just guys have to be smarter. And that's not saying that Kyrie isn't, like, he's a very savvy dude. He said some dumb shit, obviously, that we've criticized before. But he's clearly a switched-on guy. And he has to know that what he's saying is going to create waves. Mm. And that's just going to affect with... And I value this more than any other because I've seen it in my Brooklyn Nets this season. Team chemistry is so fucking important, especially in this game where you're spending 6 months with these guys more than any other, like 24 hours a day, team planes, all this bullshit. And we spoke about Marcus Morris last week as well. So yes, they're capable of more, but they probably should be the number one contender to the Golden State Warriors. I still think that they can probably get there. There's still plenty of time to do that. But if Kyrie keeps saying these things rather than dealing with them in a more productive basis, then they're not going to be able to reach those heights.
Does some fault fall on Brad Stevens here?
Yes. I think it does. I think that coaching is as much about managing personalities as it is about the X's and O's. And we know Brad Stevens is top three, top five, whatever X's and O's coach in the league. Mm-hmm.
Well, we certainly thought that at the end of last season.
Oh, absolutely.
Considering the injury woes that they had.
Absolutely.
And the immense playoff run that they did when you saw your Jason Tatum taking over games. Scary Terry.
Yep.
He had a minus, what'd you say it was, 51?
Yeah, minus 52.2 in today's game against the Bulls. In 15 minutes.
Atrocious. I've never seen a plus minus that bad.
That's bad.
That bad.
Terry Rozier is bad.
Most importantly, bad, baby.
Yeah, gee. Nice one, Nick. I think, yeah, there obviously has to be, but I think that, and a lot of people will find the coach, as just to be the guy who's the easiest to, the lightning rod of hate. I've seen, and I'm going to always constantly reference to the Nets because it's something that I cover quite consistently. Coach Kenny always gets criticism if the Nets don't play well, despite the fact that it is the players that aren't executing his schemes on the court, and it's just on them. I think most, like if we're, do you want me to put like a percentage on it, or like how much is it, say like,
I mean, it's going to be hard to put an exact percentage, but just even stating
he has to
that,
take some blame.
Of course, yeah, of course. That's sort of what I was getting at.
But Kyrie is more at fault than any other in the locker room. Because if he's, like, if it's Kyrie and, like, Al Horford, the understated leader, like, it's, and it seems like, and if I was a fly on the wall, I feel like I know what would be happening in the Boston Celtics locker room. They would have their own, like, individual little things. They'll all be doing their own thing. Jaylen Brown is, you know, a very, I think he's now part of the NBA Players Association with Malcolm Brogdon now. So, like, all these guys seem to be individuals trying to work towards a collective goal, but rather than being one collective working towards that common goal. And who knows, Jason, we might see Anthony Davis join this. It's just a fascinating thing. And it's something that I fucking love, because being a Brooklyn Nets fan and actually having some cohesion, despite the fact we are nowhere near the team of and talent of what the Boston Celtics have, we don't have these rumblings of, like, you know, Deron Williams in the past, you know, Kevin Garnett and all this bullshit. So it's fun to see the Boston Celtics going through some turmoil, Nick.
It's always a good time, no doubt. It's funny to see Boston. I'm sorry to all you Boston fans.
Bostonians!
You do make up a vast... Your fan base do make up a vast majority of the NBA. So
yeah,
it's always good to see.
Probably got some Boston listeners. Please stay subscribed and stay listening. I honestly believe that Boston have as good a shot at winning the title out of a team in the East than anyone. Just a part of me that just thinks that
it's just these underlying issues that aren't going away.
And that's... it's not improving.
It's like a wound that's festering.
Yeah.
And saying this stuff, like, even just from a PR perspective, Kyrie Irving's not a dumb man, yet I'm questioning that day, like, each day that passes. He's not a stupid man. He must know that these words and these statements impact players on free agency.
Yeah, but you could say the same players, thing for KD as
players
well.
Players aren't necessarily wanting... Well, that's true. Players aren't necessarily wanting to go to your big markets. Like, you're with the rise of, you know, your league pass, the league has never in its history been more watchable than it is now. It's the access is everywhere.
Yeah.
Social media is massive. So you can get your coverage that you require at your low market teams.
Yeah. But I don't think that individually, like, it's why Anthony Davis is leading New Orleans. Yes, he's saying about the winning and whatever, but if he's going to New York, then I don't know how much he really values.
What I'm saying, like, if this was back in the day, then the appeal for the Celtics would be
heightened. It'd be great.
Because even if this stuff was happening, it's like, but, you know, I'm going to become ultra famous at the Celtics.
And at the same time, Kyrie Irving, when he was traded, and he was traded to the Boston Celtics, the Celtics weren't on his list of teams. Like, it was Miami, it was San Antonio, it was New York. I can't remember what the other team was. There might have been one other one in there. So it's certainly something to watch going forward. And it's
Celtics have been a picture of security.
Yeah.
For a very long time.
Except for Isaiah Thomas. Are we talking about players or just...
As in, like, as an organisation.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, for sure.
Like, organisational stability.
Yeah. I think as well with that... And that's the funny thing going forward. Danny Ainge is going to have some... This off-season is going to impact everything going forward. Mm. Like what they do with Tatum, Davis, Kyrie, where is Gordon, what's Gordon Hayward going to do? Al Horford with his player option, all these sort of things. But Nick, speaking of instability, the Lakers' playoffs hopes are over. It's done.
Over.
It's done, mate. They lost to bloody New Orleans today without Anthony
But they
Davis.
Beat the Rockets yesterday.
Yeah, it's just like a yin-yang.
I know, but like, they're...
It's like, remember the Froget episode? Like, how it's like, but it has high levels of potassium. That's bad.
That's bad.
But it comes with your own choice of topic. That's good. That's the Lakers right now. Like, they win against the Houston Rockets after, like, you know, James Harden loses his shit to Scott Foster. And then they lose to the New Orleans Pelicans and the Atlanta Hawks, who are teams that just they should not be losing to. And I'd like Reggie Bullock from what I've seen of him. And it just seems to me that I think that, you know, the Kings with their win today over the Oklahoma City Thunder, and we're going to get to the Kings later, they're playing some nice basketball. And to be honest, I would prefer a 1-8 series with the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors, because the Kings have played well against them. Then it might seem sacrilege, then LeBron losing in a sweep and everyone saying, oh, he's blah, 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 his narrative bullshit. But there's still plenty of time to go. It's just that those days are waning.
Yeah, they're quickly running out of time. They are currently outside the playoff picture at a 500 record, which will be less now, considering we know the basketball reference is one game. They'll be 29 and 30. Their next few games, I think they've got some easy... Like, this was technically supposed to be a schedule, like a win.
Yeah, schedule win, yeah.
They've got a few games coming up that are, I think, in the next five games that are relatively easy.
Yeah.
I think there's an Atlanta game in there and Phoenix, if I remember off the top of my head. But then after that... Oh, sorry, there's a Kings game in there.
Yeah.
And then after that, it is rough. It is rough going into the playoffs. So that's where the major concern comes in with the Lakers. That final schedule is going to destroy them. And if they're 10th now... It's hard to see them overtaking the likes of your Kings and your Spurs.
Yeah, and in terms of the Lakers have the 10th, the toughest remaining schedule right now. You compare that to the Sacramento Kings, who have the 27th toughest. So, I mean, obviously schedule it means nothing at the end of the day. But, you know, if there's some away games in there, so, you know, that's obviously via Tankathon as well.
You've got the LeBron factor as well. He came in big in that...
Yeah, he stepped up.
I mean, the thing about the Rockets game was that everyone stepped up.
Yeah.
Everyone, about five guys deep, had a very solid game. They got good contribution out of Kuz and McGee.
Yeah.
McGee had quite a few... Oh, I can't remember off the top of my head now. It was a few days ago now. A
couple of alleys.
Yeah, just a good all-round game from Ingram as well. Ingram had, I think, 27.
He's been really good lately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what they need. They need Brandon Ingram to be... something more than 50% of his potential.
Yeah, and...
Because a lot of their success hinges on whether Brandon Ingram is good. Because you'll know what you get from LeBron.
Yeah, but I think the thing with LeBron is it's what's his engagement level for 48 minutes on both ends of the floor, and that's going to determine a lot as well. But the Lakers is something we'll obviously be talking about plenty until the playoffs kick around. But another bloke we've spoken about plenty, Zionist, Zionology... Doug Gottlieb. Is it Gottlieb? Gottlieb? Is that how you say it?
I mean, that's how it's spelt.
Yeah, all right. He's on Colin Cowherd or something like that. Zion should absolutely keep playing at Duke, Nicholas. Absolutely.
Are we talking through or post-injury or are we talking another year?
No. Like, okay. Post-injury.
He's entering the draft this year.
For those, obviously, that have been living under a rock, he had the mild knee sprain after his shoe exploded. It just sounds so weird.
He's
but
such a large
he's
man.
He's a huge... I've said this on the podcast before, but I'm going to repeat it. If he was in the NBA today, he would be the heaviest player in the NBA. That is 10 pounds, like 5-10 pounds more than like Boban Marjanovic.
And it sounds like a knock, but it's not, because he's heavy because he's freak. He's a freak athletically.
It's insane how like
how muscle bound he is, like, and how he can move.
The bloody 3-point block, like he jumped from the elbow to the 3-point line. I'm just like, that's not what people do. That's not what humans physiologically can do.
I really struggle to find to differentiate between levels of basketball, so levels of skill. So you see, like, players look great in college, but then can't translate to the NBA.
Yeah.
And I'm not one who can see that. So if they're good in college, I assume they're going to be good in the NBA.
Yeah.
So him making that block probably doesn't happen against an NBA player. Maybe their shot's a little bit, has more arc, so
yeah,
that sort of stuff. Either way, it's to actually look at that video, it is a spectacle.
It's insane.
It is beautiful, the reach he gets. Anyway, should he absolutely keep playing at Duke? I'm torn on this, mate.
We didn't actually do any wikis for the other one. Lakers playoffs hopes over. Twitter. I feel like that there's a big chance that they might be over. And the Celtics capable. Yeah, that's an absolute fact. The Boston one.
Yeah, Celtics are. Yeah, more. Yeah, or, yeah. Okay. We've done that.
Done. We just always forget the
we
scale.
We always forget the actual scale, yeah, which is the main point of this part.
It is.
I'm a bit torn on this one, mate, because I was firm on the he should keep playing before the injury. Like, this sort of stuff was happening all year.
Yeah.
Saying how Zion should sit.
Yeah.
Be fresh for the draft.
Yeah.
Don't injure yourself. And then, of course, what happens, he injures himself. I was on the boat of he should keep playing. I think you were...
We spoke about... I thought that he should sit.
Yeah, I think you were on the sit side.
Yeah.
Like, to be fair, he doesn't need to, you know, expand his brand. His brand is probably at the highest it can be for a college player.
Yeah.
He's definitely getting a shoe deal now. I mean, that was probably always going to happen, but Nike have promised him a shoe deal out of college.
Yeah.
I'm tending towards maybe a Twitter fact here. A Wikipedia fact. So, yeah. I don't like to see players sitting, especially in college.
In the NBA, if you're Anthony Davis or Kawhi Leonard.
I mean, if you're anyone that's not trying to load manage,
yeah,
there's no reason why Zion Williams should be load managing in college where you play once a week.
Yeah, but at the same time, the risk factor is so high in that.
But then, to what end, Jack? To what end do you never play back to backs in NBA?
No.
Do you play maybe 50% of road game wins?
I'm just saying the carrot at the end of the race for a guy like Zion right now is tens of millions of dollars. If he's in the NBA, he's got that security. Right now, there is no security blanket for him. If he does an ACL, knock on wood, it's all over for him. And that's the worry for me. He's obviously going to keep playing. And should he absolutely keep playing? I'll probably go Wiki as well because he just loves basketball. He's a competitor. And I think it bodes well just that he just wants to compete. And he just loves playing basketball. So, yes, he should keep playing. I just think that there isn't enough individual liberties in general with college athletes. And, like, we always focus on the NBA and NCAA athletes.
If he was able to profit off his own brand, then...
Yeah, I mean, like...
This sort of wouldn't be as big a problem as it is.
And that's
earning nothing.
That's the thing. Like, and the same thing with the NBA announcing that... And the NBA PA announcing that they're going to argue for the age of a draftable player go from 19 to 18. So Zion could be in the NBA right now if he wanted to be. Some people have advocated for the fact that it should be 17. If a player is good enough to be in the NBA, just let him play.
This is an extremely foreign take from me, and it only makes sense to people who live outside of America.
Which is like...
Abolish college sports.
Right, bang!
Because, man, I used to play a computer game with an American.
Right.
Who was massive Ohio State, he's a massive football fan.
I think D'Angelo Russell played at Ohio State.
He was massive into Ohio State, he went to college there, and he was saying the community of like college football is... amazing.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's great. It shouldn't be a gateway into professional sports. You should be promoting the G League as your gateway into professional
that's
sports.
That's what they've tried to do, and I think there was one player that's done that. They've increased the money there. Like, and I think the starter spoke about it. Did you listen to the episode?
Yeah.
So, like, I completely agree with you, but...
You see it in AFL with the VFL and the Waffle and the Sandful.
And, yeah.
You see it in soccer where you've got your different leagues, but the academies are like your you've got every club has their academy and then they might have you've got different tiers of
It is horribly sacrilege, and we've probably lost 80% of our listeners.
I know. It's not going to be a popular take amongst Americans because they love college sports.
And I think the college in general, like it becomes such a huge part of your identity. And I get that because you make it's such a formative experience, and like you were sort of saying about the communities that are created, those last, like that alumni shit. Like if you're in a job interview with a guy who also went to Duke, you're given an increased likelihood to get a job. That lingering bullshit shouldn't fucking matter. Like, if this guy is slightly less qualified, but you know he went to the same college as you, and that puts him above you, and you're more qualified, have better experience, that, I just, there's a lot of, and as much
there's
as...
A lot of university pride.
Yeah, and like, I always envy that to an extent, just because I love the American ideology.
I mean, every movie I've ever seen has told me that college life is just one big party.
Exactly.
And that is not like that in Australia.
No.
At all.
No. And that's a part of it. And like I've seen it. I've been to some of the colleges and stuff. So I get it. But we are getting off track. So we'll move on. If you guys do have thoughts, at the JMNJBT, JBT Podcast, and Jimmy.
Like, convince me on college sports, please. Because I do want to be proven wrong. Because I see a lot of passionate college sports fans, and I don't understand it. So make me understand,
yes.
Please.
Nick needs to understand.
I do.
Paolo Ugetti of the Ringer. The Thunder are the only fake legitimate threat to the Warriors in the West, Nick.
Fake legitimate.
I like it because there's no legitimate threat. That's what it is. Like, it's basically the second best team in the West right now.
I love the Ringer sometimes.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Just put out some dumb shit, but they're awesome as well. It's no OTG basketball, but it's still pretty good. I'm fact on this because I've always been big on the OKC bandwagon. Even last season, you've always been a little less high on them, but
not high on.
I've always been higher on like OKC and like Denver than you have, and you've always been like more on the Rockets and those.
I mean, I still have more on the Rockets.
Yeah. So, okay. Would you have the Rockets over the Thunder right now? And maybe they'll win today. Convinces you
probably
a little bit more.
Not. But the reason I've been off the Thunder in the past is because Russell Westbrook.
Yeah,
I'm not a huge Russell Westbrook fan.
Yeah,
but PG is making me believe, mate.
Yep,
he is. Oh man.
Yep.
Remember the season after his injury? Sorry, when he came back of his injury, played half that season. He was amazing.
Yeah,
we both picked him for MVP this year.
Yeah, I remember
that year.
Yeah,
this is the Paul George we were hoping for.
It's true. It's actually very true.
He is incredible right now.
He's been absolutely amazing,
and he is making me believe in the Thunder's. I guess
will playoff P arrive, Nick? That's the Charlie's favorite nickname, Playoff P. Will Joe Ingles be able to get a stranglehold of him again? Because funnily enough, they would be versing each other in the playoffs again, I believe. I think they're at the 3 and the 6. So they would technically verse each other. Utah were able to take care of business last season. And Utah are playing okay. They're growing. I would love that series, by the way. I think in the criticism of Russell Westbrook is obviously warranted. But his efficiency the past couple of games has been pretty good. And like I watched the game where, you know, he fouled out here like a 40-point, near 40-point triple-double. And he was like 17 of 25 from the field rather than like, you know, 3 of 30. I still think that the relationship between those two on court is at a near perfection. And they've got some good enough role players and some insane length, and they're just a really fun team to watch. And, you know, Stephen Adams, we're obsessed with him.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, the matchup is nice as well. Like, they've got Paul George to defend your
KD.
Yeah, your KDs. Who is the biggest threat, really, when it comes to playoffs? I think KD is the biggest threat when it comes to playoffs.
So you because Steph doesn't have the Finals MVP, is that what?
Mate, no. I mean, Steph's had some good games in the playoffs, but KD is unconscious.
Yeah, he
in the playoffs.
His playoff performances have been this, like that shot
have been again. Unreal. So like, just to even slightly put him off his game, like he's going to get his 30 points.
Oh yeah.
But better than getting 40.
Yeah, and make Kevin Durant or Draymond defend him on the other
end. If you force KD into poor shots, you'd probably prefer that than having a stiff open three.
And it ruins the chemistry and flow of that.
Oh yeah,
transcendent offense as well.
100%. So, we've got one of the best defenses in the league. That was
I think
the
it's
case.
Them and Milwaukee. off the top of my head.
I know Milwaukee were still quite...
The net rating is far and above, but...
They've been a good defensive team all year.
They have.
That's gonna show in the playoffs.
And I think that's what they need to pride themselves on, and that's what, you know, grinding out wins, you know, 95 to 93.
Third in the league right now in defensive rating. Behind Pacers.
That's
surprises.
It is surprising, but like I know I've heard it, and without Victor Oladipo, that's insane. But I would, I mean, for me, this is, I don't want to give it a fact because, you know, I don't know Denver, I don't know Utah, I don't really know Houston, what this iteration is of them now. It's hard to put a definitive statement on. So I'm going to go
The way Chris Paul has been playing the past two games.
It's two games.
That's the only thing I can go off.
Yes,
by. Like
yes.
He's only just been back, but if he does slip back to that pre-injury, that's a worry. I am a big believer in Harden. I think he's got a very good game, despite the fact of his.
It's good.
It's pretty good. I mean, it's not bad. I play better, but it's. It's all right. My skills are needed elsewhere.
Yeah. Apparently.
Yeah. I'm still probably on board with the Rockets as being the biggest threat, but again, it's fake legitimate because it's just the Warriors.
But there could be. I don't know. We'll get to something about the Golden State Warriors in a little bit. But Sam Vecenie, Nicholas, the Pelicans should sell a second round pick so they can keep Anthony Davis out of the lineup for the rest of the season. He was obviously out tonight, I believe. You know, this faux shoulder injury. He's going to be on LeBron's show, the shop. The perception, and it's just insane.
It's not tampering in the All-Star weekend, mate.
Apparently. but for those, and I heard this, and I felt I had to bring it up because obviously a lot of people would listen to his podcast over ours and ours, but he essentially said, if you're looking at what the Chicago Bulls sold their pick for, which ended up being Jordan Bell as a second rounder, it's about $3 million or so, and with the apparent fine of $100,000 per game if they were to sit Anthony Davis or whatever it might be, that, you know, remakes it. So there's a part of me that's a big on this, but at the same time, throwing away picks for a team like the New Orleans Pelicans right now, which needs all as many as they can, but they also did get four in the Nikola Mirotic trade. So at the same time, I just thought that it was a fascinating argument and an idea to bring up.
But to the same point, if selling a second round pick is going to equate the fines that it's going to happen to sit AD, then just cop it.
Just
cop the fines.
The boys on the outlet.
There's no point.
Nick and Corey spoke about being team AD or team Pelicans. Do you have a side, or are you just sort of in between and sort of understand?
So what, team AD would be...
Clutch Sports.
Keep play. Oh, okay, in this, like, whole debacle.
That whole scenario.
I'm probably... I don't know, it's tough, because they've both done wrong by Anthony Davis, really. Yeah. Not trading him was the biggest mistake that Pelicans did. It got Del Demps fired.
Well, it could be the best decision.
It got Del Demps fired. That's not what the organization wanted, obviously.
No, but I think Del Demps should have been fired before anyway. And
okay.
But we'll get to some other ones. And we spoke about Paul George. Damian Lillard on Paul George. That dude is MVP.
I mean, we spoke about this. He's making me believe. I'd love to...
Giannis is MVP.
There's a few people. I mean, one of them was Russ, so... You know, take that what you will. But there's a...
Evan Turner said it as well. But then Evan Turner also said that Jokic is low-key MVP. And I've had
he is low-key MVP.
I had that, Evan Turner put that on his Twitter, a couple of weeks ago. And then, the week after, he said in the same quote with Damian Lillard that Paul George is playing like an MVP as well.
People are
so he thinks there's a lot of MVP.
People are in love with Paul George right now. And rightfully so.
Yeah.
He's been amazing. And just... Imagine playing against someone like PG.
He's playing.
So I think that's because these are obviously players, and that's what they're dictating on. They're not dictating it. They're not watching him on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll be watching film when they're playing OKC, but they're physically playing against this guy and seeing what he does on court.
Yeah.
And it has a different feel to Giannis and to Harden.
Harden
gets his points through sneaky play. That's not going to get much
love
from the NBA players. Giannis is a freak athletically, so it's sort of expected.
Yeah.
Like, from a, this is, I'm trying to, I mean, obviously I'm not a player, but I'm trying to sort of empathize with what they see.
Yeah.
Whereas they see someone like Paul George, who is crazy skilled, who may not, who's not taller than a lot of NBA players. Like, he's
6'7".
I thought he was taller than that, but, yeah. He's 6'9", yeah, I thought about 6'9". So he's forward height,
yeah.
But that's not inconceivable for an NBA player. And they're seeing the things that he does, and I think it just elevates him more.
Yeah. That's fair.
In their eyes,
that dude is MVP. It's a Twitter fact because it could happen. There's still some time left in the season, but I've been on the Giannis bandwagon. There was times I remember we were doing some podcasts while I was in New York where James Harden had overtaken the conversation, but I think Giannis's consistency...
In points right now, but no one's catching Harden. He's 400, he's 350 points ahead.
Yeah, it's insane. Paul George is like putting up points and efficiency on the level of KD in his MVP year. Like that, it's pretty insane what he's doing. And yeah, he deserves a lot of credit. And he is second, third, first in MVP. It's going to be a tight race. And down the stretch, you know, the narrative, I think the narrative for James Harden has weakened. The narrative for Giannis has maintained consistency, and the narrative for... And it's all narrative.
Giannis has maintained throughout the...
Yeah, the whole season.
The whole season. It's been fairly consistent.
And Paul George's has grown. So it'll be a timing thing. What do you got on this on the scale before we go?
I'm going to give this one a bit more credence in a wiki. Because if it is... You know, if it does play out how I think it's going to play out, with OKC finishing maybe third in the West, it's going to be hard to deny someone who's averaging 28 points a game, and it will be in that conversation. But then again, if the Rockets end up snubbing that, maybe like finishing high as well with Harden beating Paul George, who would be second on points by 600 points.
Yeah.
If it continues like this.
Yeah.
Then. You know, he certainly will be in the top three.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm giving it a Twitter. I think it could happen.
Yeah. Nick, we'll quickly touch on it. We mentioned it in passing. Evan Turner says Jokic low-key has to be in the MVP discussion.
I think he has to be.
Jorge Cantu, a writer at OTG, retweeted another site and sort of said that this was pretty accurate. And their list had Jokic like eighth. And I was just... pretty standard, and like under the likes of like LeBron, and like for me I would have him sixth. I'd probably have third, like top three is who we talked about. Fourth would be Steph, fifth would be KD, and then I would have Jokic. I just think
KD
that
KD and Steph.
Yeah. Okay. I just think that KD
Steph missed a bit of time.
That's the thing though, but he's back and he's Steph.
Yeah.
He's one of the three best players in the game, and you can argue one of the best players of all time in terms of the offensive impact that he's had. So that's why, and I've been a bit of a critic of Jokic before, because there's times where he has he's had like games where he's put up five shots. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to see that from KD, you're not going to see that from Steph, you're not going to see that from Paul George. So that's the reasons why I hold it against him. But he, in saying that, he has been tremendous in turning this Denver team into the semi-juggernaut that they have been, you know, behind being second in the West. He's been remarkable, but is low-key? Yeah, depends on what you mean by low-key. So I guess I'll give this a Twitter as well.
Yeah, he definitely should be in the conversation given the Nuggets, especially start to the season, him being very instrumental in that. 20 points... 10 rebounds, 7 assists over the season. PR of 27, which is massive.
Oh, yeah.
That is massive. So he's pivotal in that Nuggets outfit. Far surpassed my expectations. Checking out Curry's numbers, he's only missed 10 games. Less than I thought. 28.8 points a game. Like... the man is unreal. So I'm back on the step back. I don't question that pick anymore. Obviously, I thought he had missed... 20 games, 15 at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just nuts.
Yeah, if he finishes with 65, 70 games, then you could...
I mean, that's not that bad. Yeah. Yeah, so he's... Anyway, Jokic definitely should be. This is a fact for me. He definitely should be in the MVP discussion. Low-key MVP discussion.
Low-key.
But he's not going to win it.
No. Not at all. Buddy Hill. Buddy.
Buddy.
BH.
We keep doing it at the same time.
Buddy Hield could be looking for a new house following this NBA season, Nicholas. The reason why Buddy Hield believes the Sacramento Kings will reach the playoffs this season. He said that he'd wager his house on it. And telling ESPN, very confident, I'd bet my house on it. I make a lot of money to buy the next one. You can't bet your dogs. I'm just confident. If I don't say it, reporters will say he's not confident enough. That's how I was raised. I trust in God, and hopefully he favors us. You're going to need more than God, buddy. You're going to need to be killing it, mate. Mm-hmm. You need LeBron to be a bit shitty. You need the Clippers to drop off. I want you guys in there. It'll be a tremendous story.
I think the league wants Sacramento in the playoffs. Yeah. Right now. This is... Every NBA fan wants the Sacramento Kings in the playoffs.
They've been great.
Except for your hardcore Lakers fans, I guess.
And stuff then. Man, we're alienating Celtics and Lakers fans. Oh, wow. We're not going to have a podcast.
We're doing good things from a PR perspective.
Apparently so. Wow, that's really strange. 538 gives the Kings only a 14% chance of making the playoffs. That seems low.
The underlying point there is that it's the Kings.
The Lakers
have a
19.
They were nowhere last season, and now from nowhere, they have come up and are challenging for playoff spots. They're ninth at the moment, 30-28.
The Clippers have a 68% chance, according to them. Like, that's just... Like they lost Tobias Harris.
They lost their best player.
And the Lakers have a 19% chance. So, I mean, take with that what you will. Will they be looking for a new house? I mean, he might need a new house anyway.
Buddy, hit me up. I've been
real estate agent.
I've been researching the house market.
I don't think he's looking for houses
in Sacramento, though.
In Melbourne,
but I know my way around. I know the finer taste in life.
Finer taste in life.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. Is he looking for a new house?
I don't think he's got to call me. I have a strange feeling that he's going to listen to this.
Yes.
In fact, no, he's probably not going to listen to this at all.
Could he be looking for a new house? Yeah. I'm going to go with fact because
I'm going to go with fact as well.
Because
it's the Kings. Again, that underlying factor. It's the Kings.
It's the Kings and it's could. If I had have said, like, will be, then I would have said, you know, Twitter or Wiki. But, like, could be. Of course it could be.
He definitely should be shopping around. Whether it actually happens, we'll wait and see.
We'll wait and see. Right.
But he definitely should have some contingency planned. He doesn't want to be homeless.
Of course. The 2022 Oscars, Nick, are said to be dominated by Space Jam. Baby, it's coming!
Space Jam 2.
It's coming! 2021, July 16, I believe. Filming starting this off-season with LeBron James.
Realistically, how many Oscars could... I mean, Best Picture.
Is it Best...
Best Director.
Does it have Best... Does it get Best Animated? Like,
that's the interesting thing. Could it be Best Picture and Best Animated?
Yes.
And Best Live Action... I don't even think that's a category.
That's not a category.
Best musical slash comedy. It's got Golden Globes.
It'll clean up the Golden Globes. Like, we know the Golden Globes are a joke, but the Oscars are what matter, mate. Is it going to get cinematography?
Probably not.
Is it going to get best actor?
Probably not.
Is it going to get best supporting actor for Bugs?
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Don't hate on Bugs. Best supporting actress has to go to Lola. She's got it in the bag.
Yeah, okay.
Surely she's favourite. Like, you know, I'm sure Emma Stone will be doing something then, or Jennifer Lawrence and someone.
Hey, I don't know. LeBron was great.
Insane in Trainwreck. Yes, it was so good.
100%. So maybe we see LeBron James as an Oscar winner, and then it's a big, massive middle finger to all the Kobe fans.
I mean, if fucking Kobe gets one, that fucking rapist piece of shit.
What I'm hoping...
Oh, I swore a lot then, sorry.
Jeez, this has been heavy, mate. Heavy stuff.
But he deserves it because it's Kobe and he did do those things.
LeBron James.
Yes.
We're talking about LeBron.
He did not do those things. He's an outstanding man.
He's a great man. He's a great actor.
I love that Consequence of Sound has R. Kelly as their photo down the bottom underneath the Space Jam article.
He does enjoy urinating on people. No, public urination. That's what he got.
Yeah, and also a lot of other things. And yes. He was in space.
Yes, he was.
He believes he can fly. And also...
He unzipped his fly.
That's good. That's very, very good. Well done, sir.
Thank you. But I honestly, I mean, if it is a good... I mean, the chances are it's not going to be a good movie.
It's going to be a great film.
It might win, like, something like... I don't know. Some of the lesser awards.
As long as it doesn't
music
win...
Music editing.
As long as it... Yeah. It'll clean up the MTV, movie awards.
Oh, like People's Choice.
Or yeah, like Best Kiss or something. Like Lowlight and Bugs get one of those. Like a notebook sort of bullshit. Oh, if as long as it doesn't get a Razzie, I'll be happy. Because high hopes. High hopes because I've seen Space Jam about 14 times. It's like my Star
Wars. Is that all? 14 times?
Probably more.
It would have to be more.
I've got it on my computer. I've watched it countless times. I can quote it. We quote it consistently. We've done too many segments on this podcast about it, and we're going to consistently because there's another 3 years to wait.
Damn right.
2 years. Sorry. 2.5 years. Jay Crowder.
Who's counting?
Jay Crowder. Let's hear what he has to say for our next Music Manuel.
I mean, to be honest with you, they don't. I'm used to playing against, so they don't affect me like they used to. I think you look around in the whole league, they don't affect the whole league like they used to. With so many teams being able to beat these guys, but it is tough to look forward to a playoff matchup to beat them 7 times. But I feel like a lot of teams in the league, especially us, I can't speak on everybody, but I feel like us, and we have confidence if we do see them in the playoffs, that'd be a good one. We want to go down to the wire, and these guys are obviously a good team, a good ball club.
All right, so Jay Crowder had some words. That was in regards to the Warriors.
Golden State.
Golden State ones, yeah.
Yep.
I don't think there's any other Warriors.
There's New Zealand Warriors in the NRL, I believe.
Well, there you go. You're a learned man.
I am, mate.
About rugby.
Yeah, that's a tip.
So, Jay Crowder. The Warriors don't affect the league like they used to. I think we've seen this a bit.
Yeah, and I think that this is a fact. But you've got to put a big butt on it, like a Kim K butt.
That's a
Cardi B butt.
That's a sizable butt.
That's a sizable caboose. There's some large caboosage on this take.
Caboose eye. Kabai. No, that doesn't make sense.
Kabai? It sounds like a place the in Abu Dhabi.
Plural of caboose.
Cabooses.
Caboosin.
Caboosin.
Like ox. And oxen.
Oh, oxen. Yeah.
Caboosin.
I don't mind that.
Three caboosin.
Okay, you just end it, please. The Warriors don't affect the league like they used to. Yeah, it's a fact. Because I think that a lot of teams are relishing the fact at the challenge of the Warriors these days. And we mentioned a team in the Sacramento Kings that has taken it up to them numerous times. The Sixers have played very well against them. The Milwaukee Bucks have played well against them. Houston Rockets today, literally today, in the absence of James Harden, were able to take them a full-strength Golden State Warriors outfit down. So yes, but once we hit that postseason...
Was it the Kings that beat them that only lost by two? Yeah,
yep.
That's right.
Yeah. So I think once we hit the postseason, it's going to... Can they dial it up a notch back to the Golden State Warriors dynastic great that we know that they are? I think that they're probably... I don't think that... And the people that are saying this, I think, are going way too hyperbolic. I don't think they're going 16-0, but I think that they're by far and away still the favourite. Mm. But, surprises can happen along the way. We could see a Milwaukee, this could be their season, and it just all works out for them.
I mean, we never saw the Cleveland Cavaliers getting to the finals last year.
Yeah, like...
They were dog shit.
3-0 down, wasn't it, back in the day? Stay woke, Nick.
Stay woke.
3-1 down, baby. And that no one thought that was ever going to happen. That's the beauty of sports. But yeah, I think that there is that mystique around them has taken a step back.
Yeah, 100%.
But, yeah.
I think it's got to do with time, because... what made them so scary and so so ginormous?
Looking it up.
I think ginormous is a word.
Sounds like a word one of the 6-year-olds that I teach would use.
It's, yeah, that's right.
It's
there was such a colossal...
Extremely large.
Thank you. There's such a colossal outfit back in the day, 3 years ago odd, because it was new. It was, how do we play against this? It was, panic stations, the Warriors are coming, let's freak out.
Yeah.
They've had time to infect the league with their style of play. A lot of teams play how they play.
Yeah.
A lot of teams know how to defend how they play. And so...
Not really, because they're still that good offensively.
There's only so much you can do when people drain 45% of their threes.
True.
There's only so much defense that you can do. But the... That shock factor is not there, and so people expect it from the Warriors, and so it's just they're not the juggernauts that they once were.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they're still great,
yeah,
by all means, but people are willing to take up the fight to them.
And I think that we've spoken about it. Be grateful for this, despite the fact that we'd love to hate it. dynasties are great for sport, and when this dynasty is over, we're going to look back on it, and it was a historic period in NBA basketball. But Nick, play that beautiful Blue Wizards music thing that I love.
The Washington Wizards are making noise.
I drank some bleach all the way down to the blue, and now I'm starting to feel like Harry Potter.
Beautiful. Yes. Absolutely beautiful.
I do my best, mate. I try. Bradley Beal.
BB. BB. Yeah! Big baller.
We are... This is amazing. This is the third
time. You need
time
to
time.
Leave your girlfriend. And you know how they say, you know they say finish each other's sentences? We say our sentences at the same bloody time.
That's happened again.
Almost.
Almost. You said bloody. I'm not as crass as you. Bradley Beal's attempts at player recruitment are all going to be all in vain.
Yes, I think the level of vainness... Vainness? I don't know. Vanity?
Vanity?
But vanity is completely different.
Yeah, to, I know. It is.
Who is Bradley Beal going to recruit? Nikola Vucevic?
All-star, mate. Two all-stars at the Wizards.
I really just...
Go back to those days.
I mean, and the amount of salary cap that is tied up with him and John Wall... Nick, it's Wizards woes for a reason, mate. I understand. It'll be
Wizards woes even when we're the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
There'll be something wrong.
Yep.
There'll be something going wrong.
Some coach or whatever.
Beal has been playing out of his skin recently.
JB Team of the Week contender this week.
But, yeah, there's just so many underlying problems with this bloody Wizards team. And, again, with everything that's happened, John Wall being the catalyst, I guess, for this violent plague that has spread out over Washington.
Wow, wait.
With the whole Gortat incident. I mean, we've lost Morris, we've lost Porter. The other one, like all of our nice Kelly. Oh man, I miss Kelly.
He's doing all right. In
I miss Kelly.
He's a very sexy man. He has beautiful eyes.
I had so much criticism of Kelly,
and now you miss him.
And now I miss him.
Yeah. You'd be all right.
But this is stemmed from John Wall. What's he going to convince? Don't worry, man. It's fixed. John Wall's going to college. He's learning business management.
And he's got a nice tattoo of his mother. That's it.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I did actually see it. I looked at it.
The sentiments
the sentimonies are amazing.
They're there.
Yeah.
But it's a poor tattoo. I'm sorry, Johnny.
I didn't think it was as bad as you made it out to be, but...
It's poor.
Check it out. Let us know your thoughts at the JMN JBT, at JBT Nick, JBT Podcast at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get to a more fun one. Oh, wait, last one?
No. I'm just saying, they are completely in vain because no one's going to want to sign for the Washington Wizards. They'd be more likely to sign with the Washington Capitals.
Or maybe more likely to sign with the Brooklyn Nets.
Wait.
Come on! perfectly open for you. It was like an alley-oop.
You caught me off guard.
It was the Dwayne Wade.
And I don't know where it is on the soundboard, so I have to look for it.
It was
and then
the Dwayne Wade LeBron alley-oop. But if that never happened, so like that photo is just like a distant memory. All right, back to some Brooklyn bits, ladies and gentlemen. Before we get to JB Team of the Week, Zach Lowe, in his 10 Things article this week, he was very high on Joe Harris. Joe Harris is perhaps the best story of perseverance and growth in the NBA over the past decade. Mm. Half decade, sorry. Obviously not decade.
He could have just said 5 years.
Half decade sounds better. He's a writer, Nick.
That's what I mean. Like, it's just words for the sake of words.
You're not a writer, Nick. You're not a writer. You don't know the synonyms available.
Engine wearing. That's what I do.
Yes, you do the more... Fans.
I ear engines.
Yes, that's good for you. But yeah, he was, you know, off the scrap heap. He was, you know, Orlando got rid of him. Cleveland got rid of him. And then he's essentially, Kenny has some nice quotes in here, and check out the article. And he's my favorite player, for those that don't know. If you don't listen to Brooklyn Buzz, then you might not know, but I speak about him frequently. Also very good today, and a key in our comeback against the Charlotte Hornets.
Some say he's a good three-point shooter.
A contest winner of sorts.
Yes.
And FU to Steph, hashtag Joe Better.
That's probably like one of the best like PR things for the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, it's
right
amazing.
Now. Like that is... People didn't know who Joe Harris was.
No, and like he's just like some random white dude. And like there's this great video of him with his family at the weekend as well. Like his mum like this quote like just got me in the feels. He's just like, I'm so proud of him and what he's done in his career, but I'm more, even more proud of him of him as a person. I'm just like, Mama Joe is just a Mama Joe. Mama Joe is a wonderful name of the episode, maybe.
That's great.
It's a wonderful woman. But yeah, he has turned himself into a G-leaguer, a G-league like castaway, to being the second best 3-point shooter in the NBA and a 3-point contest winner and just an absolute gunner. Like, he's been insane this season and I've loved it. He's been such a huge part of our growth in Brooklyn. Has he been the best story of the past half decade? Stuff it, I'm going to go with the fact because I don't care. And he's turned himself into a Kyle Korver sort of vein. And Coach Kenny made, and I'm struggling with my words because I'm so in love with him. His confidence was so down in terms of just, and that's the number one thing as a shooter and as a player. But for a shooter, you just want them to have that lights out mentality, no matter where they are on the floor, the Steph Curry thing, you're pulling up from 35. And Joe Harris has that now, and you can just see it. Like, you saw it in the 3-point contest. He nailed both of all of his money ball racks. Like, there was no tomorrow. He's been insane. And Joe's giving me a text right now. I wish. But big best pass stuff it. Fact.
I think Chris Middleton has some
has
some words to say to Joe Harris, if you believe that he is again, similar sort of vein, like Jay Liga.
Yep.
Coming up an all-star this year. Like, amazing. Amazing stuff. Amazing system he's found himself in. And a great player, great shooter.
He's been a big bit in Brooklyn. Because it's Brooklyn.
Joe Harris or Chris Middleton?
Oh, yeah, you were talking about Chris Middleton.
I was talking about
Chris. I wasn't listening to you. I should listen to you when we record podcasts.
But, yeah, I mean, Joe Harris is right up there with him. I would maybe not to the same extent as Joe Harris, but D'Lo as well, if we're talking the same team.
Yeah, yeah.
His rise has been tremendous.
Yeah.
Unprecedented.
Most points on a birthday by the youngest player ever. That's a stat apparently by Allah. The worst stat ever. But we've got better stats with you, with JB Team of the Week. That's
Curry, I knew where that button was.
JB Team of the Week.
Yes, for those of you who are new, this is where we recognise the players that have been outstanding in their positions over the week just gone. Taking out the point guard spot, Stephen Curry with another amazing game. 36 points, 12 of 23 from the field, 10 of 16 from three. Jack!
Yeah, I don't know.
And two free throws out of two as well. He also racked up 7 assists, 6 rebounds and 2 steals in only 36 minutes during Thursday's 125-123 victory over the Kings. Steph has 5 games this season with 10 or more made threes.
Jesus Christ.
For reference, no other player has more than 5 such games in their entire career. So it was like, it just snowballed. So I was like, no other player with more than 5 games over their whole career.
Did say.
He's amazing.
He's a marvel.
He's amazing.
He's a marvel.
Shooting guard, Bradley Beal, my boy.
He is.
Scored 46 points.
Trying to recruit, baby.
16 of 25 from the field. 4 of 10 from 3. Perfect from the line. 10 of 10.
You love that.
That is fundamentals right there. Bradley Beal, loving it. He also added 7 assists, bit of playmaking there, 6 rebounds and a block. In 42 minutes. Only 42 minutes.
You always say only.
Only 42 minutes. That's only 6. That's 6 minutes he missed out on. I mean, that's a lot of minutes. during Friday's loss to the Hornets. Yep. 123.
We beat the Hornets, by the way. Today.
God, I hate you. the 25-year-old has now scored 20 points in 13 straight games. He's averaging 28.4 points, 6.8 assists, 5.5 boards, 2.5 three-pointers, and 1.5 steals over that stretch.
Yeah.
Filling that box score, Mr. BB.
B-squared.
Small forward, future MVP, potentially.
Ooh, questionable.
Paul George, 45 points. He continues. He's massive tear. 17 of 31 from the field. 5 of 13 from the three. Not bad.
That's good. That's still like...
That's not bad.
That's 35,
it's not 10 or 16.
No, but only five of the players have done that in the career.
He also racked up 9 rebounds, 7 assists, and a steal.
In only 50
minutes. In only 50 minutes.
Only 50 minutes.
In the double OT win. He was instrumental in that win.
I mean, he technically missed. What's 48 and 5, so 50. He only missed 8 minutes. It's 8 more minutes he could have played.
Stop throwing it in my face. Giannis taking out the power forward spot. He racked up 30 points. He hit a three-pointer, mate.
Yep.
Good on him.
He's been good-ish from there lately.
13 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal as well.
Only how many minutes?
In only 38 minutes. 37 minutes.
Oh, even less. Even less!
Center Andre Drummond totaled 26 points, 21 rebounds.
He likes to rebound the ball.
Yes, he does. and 8 of 16 from the free throw line, which is commendable, I guess.
It's okay.
50%, but we're talking Andre Drummond.
Yeah, he was better. He's been better.
2 assists and a block over 39 minutes. Just 39 minutes over the Hawks.
9 more, he would have been all right.
That's it. He finished with his 9th game with at least 20 and 20 this season, which comfortably leads the NBA.
It does.
Solid stuff there from our JB team entries.
Yes.
So move on to Rookie Watch.
Put it down, young fella.
Best all-around rookie ever.
The best rookie we've ever seen.
Lesson one, rookie. Expect the unexpected.
Yes, for those of you who are new, this is where we award 1, 2, or 3 votes to the rookies based on their weekly performances. Jackie boy,
yeah,
take it away, mate.
One vote goes to Knicks rookie Mitchell Robinson, had the best game of his young career in a loss to Philadelphia. 14 points, 13 rebounds, 2 steals, 4 blocks in only 28 minutes.
Now that is warranting of an only.
That is much more warranting of an only. 2 votes goes to Marvin Bagley, who's been great of late. Went off for a career-high 32 points on Sunday against the Suns, last Sunday, by the way. Shooting 10 of 15 from the field, 11 of 13 from the free throw line, 7 rebounds, an assist, a steal, and a block in 32 minutes of play. He backed that up recently with 28 points, 14 rebounds, and a steal in 34 minutes during their tight loss to the Golden State Warriors. Trae Young gets the 3 votes this week. He had a big night, scoring his 2nd most points of the season and handing out at least 10 assists for the 3rd straight game in a loss to Detroit. He's the first rookie with multiple 30 and 10 games since Blake Griffin in 2010-2011. He totaled 30 points, 10 assists, 2 rebounds over 37 minutes. Trae Young has been playing some nice games of basketball.
He's balling. He's balling.
He has. Anything else? Do you want to do the spielies?
You can do the spielies today.
Yeah, rightio. I'll do the spielies. Outro. 7. 7.1.
Oh, God. Oh,
that just about does it for another week. So I'd like to say thank you to all of you for tuning in to Just Ball Things. Catch us on the Nothing But Next Dash radio channel as always. You can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Blog Talk Radio, or wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. Do us a solid, leave us a rating and review. Helps us out heaps. Remember, it is you guys who make the show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So,
keep bowling, superstar.
yeah.